I'm very pleased to introduce Sonia Aslam today. Sonia is the head of transformation at a technology company, and she has a real thirst for learning. Let's hear from Sonia. Welcome, Sonia. It's so great to have you with me today.
Thank you very much for having me, Talita. I'm very excited to be here.
Sonia, could you please start by telling us a little bit about yourself and how you want to make an impact in the world?
Sure. So I'm Sonia and I head up group transformation at Vodafone in finance. I love program management and project management and love leading complex scenarios and situations and coming up with things that people think are not fixable. The impact I would like to leave in the world, I think, is more about dealing with fairness and equality. I know that you can get things done with the right positive attitude, but bringing people along with you, with your ethics, morals, and values.
Excellent. And Sonia, has your career mainly been in finance?
No, I started off my career in consultancy, and then I moved into investment banking. And then I moved into, I worked for Apple, so in product manufacturing. And then I moved to confectionery. And now I have ended up in telecoms at Vodafone. So yes, I have had a variety of opportunities to work in different industries. What I really, really enjoyed is investment banking. And I think it's because it's quite fast paced. I think it's very driven and engaging, and you always have to keep with the pace of the changing dynamics in investment banking and finance. So I've thoroughly enjoyed, I thrive in driven, fast-paced environments. And if I have to now look at confectionery, where my career was at some one point, it was very slow, very process-driven. And yes, processes do have a, there is a room for processes, but equally I feel that you need to have this agility, which I felt was missing in the confectionery area.
Yeah. Fantastic. That sounds really exciting. So many different industries, and it sounds like you really enjoy that fast-paced, high-change environment.
Yes, I love it. I think it suits my personality, and it suits my my thirst of learning. So yes.
Fantastic. Sonia, how would you describe great leadership? What is a great leader for you?
I think a great leader is someone who has a positive attitude, who lets go of control and brings the best out in their team. So looking, understanding their team members and looking at the motivators to see what motivates a team member to get to the outcome that a leader is looking for, but also allowing the individual finding their journey to get to the outcome. Great leaders know they won't have a happy and motivated team unless they exhibit positive attitude. So, I mean, this can be done by remaining positive when things go wrong and creating a relaxed and happy environment. So embracing that failure and understanding, okay, you know, things don't go to plan. Things sometimes will, deviate. But let's see what are the lessons we can learn from it and see how can we ensure that failure doesn't occur again and what are those mitigation actions and plans. So embracing failure, I think, is very critical for a good leader.
I think that's a very important point because traditionally it might not be that failure is accepted in organizations. And I think nowadays with the pace of change, especially with COVID upon us, I think it's really important to be able to say, I'll try different things and adjust and adapt.
Yes, absolutely.
Great. And then where, if you were to give advice to a new leader, where would you suggest that they start? So what is the first thing that they should do, either as an existing leader or if they just want to improve their leadership?
I think it's about be yourself. Don't try to be someone who you're not because you will be caught out. And what I mean by that, there's a lot of pressure where, you know, a lot of other leaders or individuals are continuously providing feedback, say, upon, in terms of your approach or your directness. And you can take all this feedback, but the reality is, if it's part of your DNA, you can't be someone who you're not. You can adjust, but you can't be someone who you're not. So my recommendation or my advice to any person who's going down the leadership route is to be authentic, be true to your core values, and try to understand your people. Get to know the people that you are leading, and change. There's approaches that are there that you need to apply and change and adapt to the individual that you are dealing with. Another thing, I have always surrounded myself with people that I see as great leaders, and I would like to be under their shadow to be able to learn and understand how are they navigating complex situations, because it's easy to navigate a very simple, positive situation, but it's the complexities and how you manage and deal under pressure. So it's about the people you engage with and associate with and surround yourself with is what's going to help you become a better leader.
I think there were so many important points in there. For me, what's really stood out is that being aware of what your values are. And I think that comes with a bit of self-awareness from a leader. You know, if you're not aware of what your values are or even thought about it, then it's kind of difficult to lead from a values place.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing in there was really seeing the people that you lead as individuals, trying to understand them and who they are authentically, and maybe also how they are different from you. And they should be different, because if we just hire people who are exactly the same, that's not very good for diversity.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it becomes very boring because you're just speaking to a mirror.
Yes. And I think that last part was also a little bit about role modeling. Would you say that?
Yes, it was. I mean, when I look back in my career, there are three leaders that stand out, and I'm still in touch with them. And I continuously, one of them is my mentor, actually, for the past 10 years. And having that mentor, because she's got to know me as an individual and at a deeper level, she knows how I've grown from where I was 10 years ago to where I am now, but also has taken me on a journey from her own experience and how she's navigated complex situation, whether it's in a room full of men or whether she's had challenging individuals that she has had to manage. And one thing she's always said to me is that sometimes, Sonia, you can do the best you can for an individual or for a person, but you have to also take a step back and recognize that if something is not changing, it's not down to the fact that you're not trying, but it's down to the fact that the individual is not ready to prosper and move on and have that self-awareness. And having that key advice has allowed me to not take things personally, thinking, oh, this, you know, I'm not doing my best. It's more about that person is not ready yet, and they're not ready to start their journey. And that's very important to remember and recognize as a leader.
Fantastic. Really, that individualization and knowing where people are in their journey as well.
Yeah.
So we've touched on it a little bit. How important do you think the relationships are with individuals and that team engagement, team interaction, and specifically from your perspective of driving change?
I think it's important for the team. It's not. I don't think we all work as individuals, but I do think now to bring change and drive change, it is a team effort. So it's tapping into understanding the individual's strengths and understanding areas that they're not actually, they're not interested in, or they don't have a passion for. Because if you have passion, you're going to drive. If you don't have passion for an area, you can keep pushing and pushing, but nothing's going to move. And it's just like, okay. So I think when I start a project on change, I try to understand what are the individuals are having the team interested in, understand who the type of individuals I'm leading or I'm dealing with, and seeing what is the different personality type and how I'm going to work with them. So then it's all about, okay, I've done that individualization, but what is the outcome we're looking to achieve? Mm-hmm. And then bring them on the journey of explaining how it fits into the overall organization strategy and what is it in it for them and how does this help carve out their individual development plans, you know, so tapping into areas that are going to be their motivators. That's how I bring them along to in their journey of change.
Fantastic. I love that. What's in it for them, and trying to help them understand how that links back then to the organizational strategy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what do you think holds leaders back from absolutely reaching their full potential, Sonia?
I can tell you what held me back as a leader, and that was I was continuously seeking approval and validation from others. And I completely forgot that just because I'm a leader does not mean I'm not an individual. I'm an individual in my own right. I am where I am because of that individualism. So I should not try to change or be someone who I'm not. Mm-hmm. So I started recognizing the type of people that probably would not be able to approve my leadership, are not willing to approve my leadership style, and to those who actually are positive towards my leadership style. So I think what holds leaders back is continuously seeking approval and requiring validation from others. A leader needs to listen to himself. I think gut intuition is very, very vital. I have, in the last 8 months, made a decision that went against my gut, and I regret it. And I think gut listening to your intuition is so important, because it actually has something. You can't pinpoint what it is, but you know there is something, and that comes from experience. So, you know, in individuals, you need to understand yourself, be self-aware, and not be continuously looking for recognition or validation or approval from others.
Mm-hmm. I think as a leader, sometimes that's also a little bit difficult when you start out, because you're looking for maybe feedback on how it's going. And I think it is important. It's that relationship of a leader having more of a coaching relationship with you and helping you at the beginning to understand that, you know, what that process of validation is that you're seeking, and what's acceptable and what not. So I think what might have really helped you is if you had someone who was coaching you, almost like a leader that was on the job coaching you in terms of that. Would you say that would have helped you?
I have been very fortunate, because a lot of my friends, they're great leaders, and they're known for their leadership in the organizations they work for. So every time I have faced, when I started my leadership journey, every time I have faced a situation, I have reached out to them to seek their advice, to understand, okay, what would you do in this instance? Have you ever been faced with this? And I'm also fortunate COVID-19 has really been beneficial, because I've got to see my husband in a different light. He was just my husband before COVID-19, but now I see this leader who sits at the opposite end of this door in his office, and I'm sometimes listening to his conversations and how he's leading through empathy, and how he is demonstrating this leadership through a crisis situation. So I think you know, I've got that mentor just sitting right, you know, opposite, and it does help, because it makes you start recognizing and realizing, actually, this is a similar situation, and this is how he approached it. And maybe I should try it. And sometimes it's trial and error. And you will find that, you know, what works well to what doesn't work, because every organization has their different values as well. And you need to be able to work around those values. So, yes.
Fantastic. Sonia, tell us either a great story of leadership or an epic fail, whichever you prefer.
Let's keep this on a positive note. And I think great leadership was my mentor. I used to work at Apple, and I remember seeing her actually faced with a crisis around an organization. And the situation was around, how can we do the best for our consumers? And it was not her role, it was not her job to do that. She just thought about it, and she just started having this discussion with us. And then what she came, how 18 months project, how she went about identifying a problem, and then driving it to a conclusion that helped around 80,000 employees, I was just like, wow, that was great leadership. That she didn't have to go about doing this project, but she thought, I want to help. I want to help my consumers, but I want to help my staff. So what is the best I can do? And she went and took this up with her senior management, presented the idea, got the go ahead, and 18 months later, so many people have benefited from it. So I think that shows great leadership when you're willing to roll up your sleeves, look at the issue, take the challenge. No one brought it to her. She just identified it herself. So I think what people tend to forget is when you're a leader, doesn't mean you can't be an individual contributor. You can actually fluctuate as and when. And that was her area of passion. And she went down the route of passion. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic, because she saw a problem, and whether it was within her silo or not was irrelevant. She took it on for the organization and improved it massively. And I think that's the key, you know, as I love it when I tutor for the Institute of Directors and I talk about how when you're a board director, you're actually entrepreneurial. It's like it's your own business. And I think she saw that as, you know, the consumer is not getting what they should. And therefore, I want to change something, because otherwise the organization's not successful. So that's a brilliant story. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Sonia, a couple of other questions. What do you think people or general misconception is about you?
I think people don't think I get fazed, and they think that I don't have feelings. I'm not someone who brings feelings to work. I'm quite, you know, my personal life is my personal life, my professional life is my professional, and I have maintained that from COVID-19, pre-COVID-19 and post-COVID-19. I think people think when they are communicating with me or they are sending me emails, is that there is not a human behind the recipient of those emails. So some of them can be quite, harsh, one would say, but thankfully, I have a personality that I don't take things personally, and I'm quite thick-skinned. So I think, when people come to me with their challenges, especially currently with everything that's going on in their home life, I can empathize because I have those same challenges, but I navigate in a very different way. I don't have the support, but, you know, I am choosing to work and I love what I do. And I'm blessed with very good children as well who want to work around me. So I think people think I have it easy, but it's not actually easy. I guess make it look easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, through that separation. What do you wish people would ask you, Sonia, that they never ask you? And you'd say, I really would love them to ask me that.
I think it would be nice to be asked, how are you? And when I say, how are you, I mean it in a very genuine sentiment, not like, hey, how's it going? It's more like, hey, Sonia, how are you doing? And how are things going? Really generally having that interest. So I don't get that often. I'll be very lucky if I get it once a month, maybe. But to be fair, there are two people who do that, actually, in my team. But it would be nice if I'm just asked that occasionally. Because it just makes you feel like, oh, you someone's humanizing you. And I think that's the only question I would like to be asked.
Fantastic. Is there anything that surprised you in COVID-19?
It's how human beings can be very resilient. I think when COVID-19 hit, I am a person who likes to be, you know, I like a routine, and I had a very good routine. I just returned from maternity and going to work, and I love going to work and I love the people I work with. And then all of a sudden that routine was taken away. And I thought, oh my God, that's like a piece of me that's been taken away. How am I going to manage? But it just goes to show how resilient human beings are. We were faced with a situation, not just me, but many others, and how we quickly turned things around, how we made our home into offices, how we managed our children with work, and how we found a separation between work and home life. So it's just how humans are very quick to adapt. And if we were not faced with this situation, I don't think anyone would have thought they could do what they are doing today. So I'm so proud of humans, I guess, and everyone who is going through this challenge, because we have all shown resilience and shown that anything's possible.
Yeah, I would totally agree with you. I think I've seen so many stories on LinkedIn of people who are pivoting, doing things differently, and innovative ways of keeping their children busy and creating that balance between work and life, although it's all intertwined now. So yes, I would totally agree with you. Sonia, from all your change and culture work that you do, or transformation work that you do, what would you say your top tip would be in terms of transformation?
I think when change comes, people naturally, you know, close in. They like shy away, because some people like embrace change, but some people, you know, who are used to a certain process, certain way of working, they don't. So it's like understanding who are your stakeholders, who are going to be mostly impacted by the change. And the ones you can see are going to be mainly impacted. Start focusing your communication, focusing the drive, and understanding what is that concern they have around this change, to try to tap into that and ease that. Once you start easing people from something they see as a big problem to which probably it won't be, you then will naturally get their buy-in. So I think it starts from the people journey. I know people say, no, let's implement the project first and then we'll think about the people. I think it should work the other way around. It needs to be understand the people, understand the impact, and try to bring the people who are being mostly impacted and are hesitant about this change, try to understand what is driving those feelings, those conversations, all those statements. So yes, that's my top tip around change.
Fantastic. So Sonia, in summary, as the close of our interview, is there any questions that you have for me or that you would like to ask in terms of our leadership hypothesis?
Sure. So first of all, I think what you're doing is fantastic. You know, I think it's going to help the future generation and also the current generation that are looking to go down the leadership route. I mean, I've heard some of your interviews with people, and it's been quite enlightening, from business partners to people who have actually set up businesses. I mean, it's been very interesting. How do you see this going? What is your ultimate goal? Where do you want to take this? That would be my question.
So, I wanted to find out what the red threads are. And because if I interview, I'll probably in the end interview 28 people. I only have 3 to go and then I'm done. And what I'm already seeing is I'm seeing a lot of commonality. And I think then creating something that helps people, how do I practically do those things with my team and with my people? So my end goal is to kind of be able to say, these are the shifts that you need to make. From speaking to many different people, CEOs, board members, I have the man who ran the Queen's household. So just so many different people, a guy in the United States who runs a CFO network, just asking all these different people and normal leaders and normal people who are trying to drive transformation, what are those red threads? And then to put together a plan of how do I easily do that? You know, because I think some people think becoming a great leader is really difficult. I think it's only difficult if we're not willing to make small steps.
Absolutely.
Because if you're willing to make small steps over a period, those things that look like a very big thing is very far much easier to do. And so that's my goal.
That's great. No, I mean, I think self-awareness is something really, really important. Till you do not instill self-awareness within yourself, I don't think you will be able to take the next step or progress, because if you're not willing to receive the feedback, understand, okay, how maybe something you're doing that you might not be privy to is having an impact on others, and you're not willing to receive that feedback, then you are already bringing a hurdle to your journey of becoming a leader. So it's being very self-aware of what your actions do. It's being self-aware in terms of how you're presenting yourself. Is being self-aware of when you hit with a crisis, how do you manage yourself in that crisis? So you're always being looked up to. So it's how you portray yourself and demonstrate to your team.
Yes, definitely. And I think the other thing for me is to help through all these interviews to kind of convince analytical minds that leadership and team is very important. It's the thing that you can invest most of your time in and have the most success with. Normally, I remember those early days of leading where I didn't have a lot of time and I had a lot of pressure and a lot of mess sometimes to sort out. And the last thing that I thought I wanted to do was invest in my own development or my team's development because I didn't have the time. And yeah, the reality is the minute you start doing it is the minute you become more successful, because it's very perversely, it's something where you invest a little bit of time, but you get a lot of reward back. And so it's trying to convince analytical minds that that's it. And perhaps that's a book. I don't know. I've already started during the process to capture some nice quotes that people have done. And I'm putting out the quotes as well on LinkedIn now. So those are just natural things that have happened in the progression of the series. But I'm hoping mostly that it will help people, and it will help people to know that leadership isn't this insurmountable mountain. It's actually small, continuous steps. And over time, it makes a big difference.
Yeah. Well, I wish you all the very best in your journey, and I love following you, and I'm really looking forward to the next interview.
Thank you so much, Sonia.
Thank
it's been
very,
lovely.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.